six. Oh, did I miss one? I'm sorry. Sorry, go ahead. Anyone else? Okay, John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Very familiar story. I'm not going to be real deep. It's going to be a very simple three-point outline, basically, tonight. Very simple, very practical, if you will. But John chapter 6, let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. We're going to read verses 1 through 14, 1 through 14 responsibly. I'll read and then you read, and then we'll get right into our message. John chapter 6. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the five barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. And those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that the prophet should come into the world. Our Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for tonight, God. We thank you for the testimonies we heard. And we thank you for this time we get to open the Word of God and preach your Word, Lord. I pray you'd give me clarity tonight. I pray you'd give me strength. I pray that you'd anoint my lips, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd open our hearts for the preaching tonight. Change us now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach here for a little while on lessons learned from the lad. Some lessons learned from the lad. Very familiar story here. We know it very, very well. Most of us do. The story of the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus had been followed by a great multitude. This multitude, of course, was in awe of Jesus. Jesus had performed many miracles. Bible says that the crowd, there's a great company there, and they had seen that, and they were following Jesus, and it's no wonder why they followed him. You just think about it. I wish I was part of that crowd, seeing the miracles that he performed, and man, I would have loved to have been able to be a part of that, if you will. The Bible says that Jesus went up into a mountain, sat there with his disciples, and then he lifted up his eyes and saw the multitude come unto him. Conversation between him and Philip was, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And I just want to, it just seems like a little bit that Jesus in this conversation was kind of playing with Philip a little bit. The Bible says Jesus knew what he was going to do. You know, it was supper time, it was meal time, if you will, and here was all these people, 5,000 if not more, said 5,000 men. So that's not counting the women and children, okay? But we know that thousands were fed there and so forth. And we know that it was supper time, if you will. And Jesus says, how are we going to feed these people? All right? And I think he was kind of playing with Philip because Philip, you know, you can see the lack of faith in Philip. You know, Philip there says in verse number seven, Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them should take a little. You know, a little bit of lack of faith. God, Jesus, I don't know how this is going to happen. And, you know, some miracle is going to take place. Well, you know, I kind of want to say, well, duh, Philip, you know, who are you serving here? You're serving Jesus, you know. He healed the lame. He's provided. Man, you've seen great miracles that he's performed. I mean, come on. Don't you think that Jesus is able to do this? Andrew here, one of his disciples, verse 8, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes, but what are they among so many? There's another lack of faith statement. You know what? Jesus, okay, there's a little boy here, you know, and I got thinking about this little boy. You know what? This isn't your typical lunch for a kid. Okay, you think about it. I mean, Five barley loaves and two fishes. I mean, that's just not really your typical lunch. I got thinking, well, what? You know, I mean, whatever happened to pizza and you know, the peanut butter and jelly, whatever the case may be. And, you know, I'm being a little humorous there. But here, you know, but what are they among so many? Jesus, you know what? There's a lad here, this little boy here. He's got a little sack lunch, and there's five barley loaves in there. There's two fishes and so forth. That certainly isn't going to do it. You know, Jesus, that certainly isn't going to do it. And so the Bible likens this lad to a little boy. I don't know. Maybe he was little. Maybe he was a young man. I don't know. But he was a lad, and he was there for a big, something big for God, if you will. He was about to experience something big that he will never, ever forget. And I'm just going to go ahead and share with you just for a few minutes tonight three things about this lad. Number one, what is it? I'm going to move right forward. We're going to get done, I think, fairly decent time tonight. If you saw my notes, you'd be happy, I think, okay? But if I don't get some amens tonight, we just may keep right on going until 8:30, 9 o'clock or whatever until we get things going. Wow. You know, that's the most amens I've ever heard from the teenagers. I think I ought to. There's always somebody. But, you know, this little boy was the provider for the situation. You know, some would say, well, he's too young. He can't serve God. Some would go ahead and say, you know, he can't do this. He can't do anything for God. The disciple said, there's a lad here. He has five barley loaves. That's not going to be sufficient. This little boy is going to be a part of something great. And he's going to be able to experience something great. And he's going to be very, very glad that he was where he was. What is some of the lessons? Number one, three lessons. Number one, he was there. He was there. He did not miss. You know what? Because he was there, he was able to simply give Jesus what he had. You know what? Jesus doesn't ask. God doesn't ask for much. You know, sometimes we think, well, you know, you've got to have charisma. Or, you know, to serve God, you've got to go ahead and be wax eloquent. To serve God, maybe you got to have a little bit of money. Well, it ain't going to happen here, you know, but to serve God, maybe you got to have a little bit of money, or you've got to be able to get along with people. And a lot of that helps out, obviously, but you know what? Sometimes we put all these requirements. Well, if I'm going to serve God, I got to do this. I got to do this. You know, God doesn't ask for money. Here's just a little boy who just showed up. He was there. Okay, he did not miss. And boy, you know what? By the end of the day, he is so very glad that he didn't miss, because he got to experience something great and something big that young man, that little boy, to a young man, to a married man one day, he will never, ever, ever forget about the fact that Jesus went ahead and took his lunch, five loaves, two fishes, and fed 5,000 people. He was there. He showed up. You know, the one that God used the most of those that show up. Those that show up. The one that God, you know what? Some people say, well, God doesn't want to use me. I'm not going to be you. You know what? You know, show up. You know, let me tell you something. If you just show up and you show up to church or whatever the case may be, and you say, hey, preacher, can I be used? You know what? You're not going to hear me say no. I've been asked, hey, preacher, can I do something around the church? Hey, pastor, can I do this? Can I do this? You know what? I have never yet, to my knowledge, I have never yet said no. You know why? Because there's always something to do. Obviously, you know what, you're careful, got to have requirements for certain things, but the truth of the matter is, listen to me, the truth of the matter is, God wants to use you. You know what, you want to be used, just show up. He was there, he didn't miss. The one that's used by God is the one that just simply is in his or her place. You know what, you want to be used as an usher, show up. You know what, we need ushers. I just say it. You know what, we need, you know what, we just mentioned here, in just about a month, we're losing some key workers here. We're going to need some people to step up. You know, listen, if I could, I'd go ahead. I am on that bus route with them, but I would go ahead and try to drive the bus and sing the songs that they sing, you know, and then go on downstairs. I still haven't quite figured out, okay? Still haven't quite figured out how it can be here and be down in that 3, 4, and 5-year-old class where they have a little preaching time and teaching time with them little children. I haven't quite figured that out at that time frame. I'm not yet. I don't know how yet. You know what I'm trying to say? We need some people who be willing to show up and say, hey, you know what? I think I could teach that 3, 4, and 5-year-old little boys and girls class. I think maybe I could ride a bus. I think maybe I could drive. I think maybe I could be an usher. I think I could be a bus worker or a junior church worker or a choir member. I think I could do this. You know, Jesus was asked, hey, how are we going to feed this crowd? Well, there's a lad here. You know what? He doesn't have a whole lot of charisma. He doesn't have a whole lot of eloquence. As a matter of fact, I'm not quite sure how old this boy is, but you know what? He's not a preacher. He's not, what some people would call the first person you would pick to do something big. But God said, Jesus said, hey, you know what? I'll take what he has. You know, he was there and ready to go ahead and give Jesus what he had. He was there. He did not miss. I'm talking about you be there in church. Well, you know, you show up to church. You know, I've always had this attitude, and it's even before I was there goes another one coming down the altar. Come on down, come on down. Another one fell down, another one of these characters. That's okay. It's been happening all day, folks. I tell you, we're having a revival. Amen? Okay. I was going to go out a little bit further, but I won't. I'm going to be a kind preacher here. But I want to say it. But anyways, forget it. Get out of the box here. Okay. All right. But you know what? Anyways, he didn't miss. You know, it'd be good just to show up to church. But you know what? I've always had this. Listen. I've had this habit even prior to me being a full-time pastor, an assistant pastor for 10 years and a senior pastor for 3 years. You know, I feel like, man, if I don't go ahead and show up to church, you know, I know there's certain maybe sickness and vacations and different things that may keep you from being where you ought to be or where you're supposed to be on your regular Sunday. But let me tell you something. I always had this attitude. Man, if I don't go to church, I'm going to miss something. You know what, if we didn't go to church today, you know what, you had a part in seeing 4 children saved today, amen. You know what, you got to be a part of that. You know why? Because you showed up. You were there. You chose not to miss. You know, I know it's summertime. I know, you know what, I had the privilege of going down to Cape Cod for a week. It was beautiful. I just say it was beautiful. Okay, got to walk some of them beaches and got to, I got a little bit red face a little bit. I mean, the sun was beating out. It was just very, very beautiful. I got to spend some time with my family. You know what? But you know, and I don't know where I was going with that, but the truth of the matter is, you know what? We need to go ahead and show up. We need to go ahead and be in our place. You need to go ahead and do what God has called you to do. What if the lad didn't show up? You know, he'd have missed out on a big blessing. You know what? Had we not showed up today, you know what? We saw some folks saved this today. And let me tell you something. You show up this week, there's going to be a lot of great things going to happen this week. Amen, Brother Robles? There's going to be some tremendous things that's going to take place this week. You know what? We were talking, I said it a moment ago, we had a little bit of adversity even going into this particular week right here with Vacation Bible School. And, you know, I just said, hey, you know, something good's going to happen. Get a little bit of pressure going this way, going against us. Something good is really going to happen this week. You know what? And I'm just going to show up every night. I'm going to find out what's going to happen. I'm going to see what God's going to do. But you know what? Sometimes we have a tendency, we kind of miss things simply because we don't show up. You know, this young boy, you know what? He received the blessing. He received a huge blessing simply because he showed up. He did not miss. He didn't stay home and watch the cartoons. He didn't go ahead and stay home and watch Bugs Bunny and the superheroes and Batman and Superman and the Fantastic Four. I'm probably dating myself. Thank you for that. Yep, and I know where it came from. But he didn't stay home. You know, had he done that, he'd have missed out. He didn't stay home and watch the TV all day long. And I got to get to my Xbox, and I got to go ahead and get to my PlayStation. I got to get to my Wii, and maybe I'm dating myself on some of them too. I got to get to my Atari. Amen. If you still have one of them, you know, I don't. They might be worth some money today, but you know what? And I doubt this young lad. You know, he had all hand withdrawals because you know it's been 2 hours since I played my Xbox. You know, I doubt it. You know, I doubt it. He didn't say, you know what? He didn't say I want to go home and play with my friends. He didn't say, hey mom, can we go home? I don't want to be here. He didn't say I want to go home and go to bed. He didn't say that. No, you know what this little lad did? He just went ahead and showed up. He was there. He did not miss. And because he was there, he was able to go ahead and just simply give Jesus what he had. Jesus doesn't ask much. You know, it might be, listen, it might be that, you know, all I can do, preacher, is I can warm a pew. I can come and warm a pew, and that's just exactly where God wants me to be right now. Then you come and you be the best pew warmer in the world. Amen. You know, but if let me tell you something, but if you can do more than that, if the Holy Spirit's nudging you to go ahead and say, you know what, I think I can start taking some tracts, and I think I can go out passing out tracts to people along the way. And as you grow, I think maybe I could maybe be a worker on a bus. I think I could drive a bus. We need bus drivers again, amen? But I think I could drive a bus. I think I could maybe work on a bus. I think I could could maybe even do some tinkering on a bus. Hey, I think I could fill out one of them months of cleaning the building. Hey, I could go ahead and do that. Hey, what I'm trying to say, you show up, God will use you. God will use you. Hey, this young man, he didn't have an attitude about it. I want to go home. He just said, I'm going to show up and I'm going to see what God's going to do. You know what? God will do great things once you show up. God will show, do some great things if you show up. Well, I love church. You say, well, preacher, you ought to love church because you're the preacher. But I love church. I get excited, boy, when these little kids are down here Sunday morning. I do, man. I know it takes a lot of energy sometimes. And sometimes, especially this morning, it's not always like this. Sometimes, especially this morning, you had to wake up some of these kids. Hello, and the preacher was more getting into it than they were. He had to just kind of slap them around a little bit. Someone just kind of, what time is it? Whatever the case may be. But I love serving these little kids. I love seeing what God's doing through our puppet ministry. I love seeing what God's doing through the junior church. I love seeing what God's doing through the youth group of the teenagers. Several teenagers decided they went out and did some door knocking on Tuesday, signed up several folks for VBS already, and several went out today. A few of them went out today. Bless God. I like that. I love seeing what God's doing in our church. I love the growth, the spiritual growth, not necessarily numerically, but I love seeing the spiritual growth. I love seeing people, boy, 2 or 3 years ago, you know, hey, I don't think I could go ahead and teach a Sunday school class. I don't think I could do that. But now, you know what? 3 years later, here they are. They're teaching a class. They're serving God. They're excited about God. They're excited about souls being saved. Why? Because they showed up. They showed up. They were faithful. They were there. They did not miss. Boy, church ought not be a decision in your family. Well, do I go today or not? It ought not be. Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Shouldn't be a decision of whether you show up to church or not. Boy, your kids need to be in church. And mamas and daddies, you need to be with your kids in church. You know, you don't need to just go ahead and roll through, okay? I'll be back about 8 o'clock to pick you up. No, you get out of that car with your children, and you sit there in church with your children. They need a mama and daddy in church, and they need to be in church with you. And don't you find some little lame-brain excuse as to why I can't go to church. Hey, get in church. Be there. Show up. Because there'll be some blessing when you get there. Boy, church, place that you can find encouragement. Boy, how often, and I hope I don't just come up behind the pulpit and show the load from time to time, but sometimes on a Sunday morning they come and I know I've got a heavy load upon my shoulders and come in with that smile, but you know what? I come, boy, you know what? And on some of them mornings and some of them Wednesdays or Sunday nights when I have that heavy load upon my heart, boy, you know what? I come to church and I'm encouraged. Boy, by the time the day is over, I'm glad. Boy, I'm glad I was in church. I'm glad that I showed up. Why? Because church is a place you can find encouragement. Church is a place where you can find your friends. Boy, your church, your friends ought to be found in the church house, amen, not the world. You know, we have a tendency, you know what, listen, well, you know, they're not that bad of people. They kind of got some values and so forth. But let me tell you something. Let me ask you a question. Do they believe what you believe about the Bible? Are they saved? You better be careful rubbing around the world with the world. I'm not saying be unkind. I'm not saying push them away. But you ought to be very, very careful. If they're drinking or if they're doing things that you know, go ahead and hurt the temple of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, it's not going to affect me. Hey, after a little while, you know what you're doing? You're dropping your guard. Dropping your guard. Before you know it, you say, well, you know what? I would never do that to a point where I can't believe I'm here. It happens very, very subtly. Boy, church ought to be a great place to find friends. Church is a great place to get fed spiritually. A church is a great place to get strength. Hey, be there. You know, this lad was there in his place. Number two, he was also there for his family. Okay, or this teaches us for the family. You be there for your family. You be there for your spouse. Show up when they need you. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this sub-point, if you will, but you be there for them. You know, this has been a unique year, if you will, as far as my family's concerned. You know, my oldest daughter graduated from high school just a few months ago, and just a few weeks she's going off to Bible college, and let me tell you something, that's a unique time. Those of you who have been there, you know what I'm talking about. You've been there, done that. You got the T-shirt. You know what I'm talking about. And, you know, it's been a very unique time. It was just a wonderful time this week to be able to just stop, if you will, and to spend time with my family. You know what? We all need that, don't we? You all need that time where you can just kind of sit down and veg out a little bit. Whenever I go on vacation, I always get, I'll be honest with you, I always get concerned. You know, I need to go to church. I'm going to be on vacation. I got to go to church somewhere. That's just the way it is. And I was looking, you know, okay, where's a good, you know, and it was getting very, very hard to find a church down where I was on the Cape anyways. And, you know, I considered coming back here, just whatever the case may be. But we still had church. And I'll tell you what we did. And I'll tell you, it was one of the most precious little services I had. I had my family right there. And you know, I went ahead and Cody had a little something. I went ahead and I taught a lesson, and kind of, you know, and we sang some songs, and it was a precious time. I'll tell you, it was a precious time to me. But two, by the way, with two of you know, some of you, oh, I can't believe you didn't show up to a church house. Well, you know what? They got a whole lot more Bible there than the church that was. I was thinking about going down the street. I guarantee you. I checked it out, and there's all different versions of it. It just wouldn't have worked. But you know, the truth of the matter is, I made sure that we had a time and we had church together. It was a very, very precious time. Where two or three are gathered together, there the Holy Spirit will be. You know that too. But you know, it was a precious time. But you know what? I wanted to be in church, and it was just a great time. You know, it was just great to be there for my family. It was good to be able to hear my kids talk a little bit more than normal, so to speak. I mean, we're just able to get to talk to each other and different things and so forth. A lot has to do with having a happy marriage by just being there for each other. You know, listen to that spouse of yours. God gave her to you. God gave him to you. You know, you ought to lift him up with your words. I talked a little bit about that this morning, but you know, lift him and her up with your words. Don't tear your spouse down. Be there for him. Don't miss out on the blessing of being there for each other. Jesus, sure, he could have provided food. You know what? We know Jesus, he didn't need to go ahead and have that little lunch there. He knew what he was going to do. Jesus had a plan. He had a plan anyways. But you know what? That lad was there. Because he was there, he was willing, he went ahead and he was able to give what he had. And God went ahead and blessed greatly. Hey, number two, he was ready. The lad was ready. He was prepared. He happened to have a lunch, and because of that, God used him. Jesus used him. He was ready to give what he had. You know, he didn't show up empty-handed. He just went ahead, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. He just, whatever he had to give, he says, well, you know, Jesus, here, it's all I got. And Jesus knew he could go ahead and use them five loaves and two fishes. You know, Jesus, listen, just like Jesus wanted a shot at that young man, at that young lad right there, he wants a shot at you. But you know what? You got to be ready. You got to be prepared. You ought to come ready to church. You know what? You know why we leave church the same way we came? We don't come prepared. We don't come with a ready heart. You know why we kind of stagnate spiritually and we kind of are at that max out point, so to speak, or we just kind of plateaued? That's the word I want to look for. We just kind of plateaued in the spiritual life because, you know what? Well, you know, okay, it's 10:45 Sunday morning, okay? The choir's got to come out 10:46. They're going to sing their opening 10:47. By 10:48, the preacher's going to get up. We're going to sing our opening. You know what? And you got it all down there. The truth of the matter is, you didn't take 1 minute this morning to go ahead and prepare your heart for the preaching of the Word of God. You know, that's why we stagnate. That's why, you know, church is kind of same old, or ho-hum, or that's why we are at a point of, well, should I go to church or shouldn't I go to church? We kind of have to make it a decision in our life, and church ought not be, spiritual things ought not be a decision. It just ought to be done by reflex, and you ought to have character enough to say, hey, I'm going to do what's right for the sake of my spiritual life and for the spiritual life of my family. I'm going to go ahead and do what's right. But you know what? Jesus wants a shot at you. But he wants you to come ready. He wants to do some big things with you. But you got to come ready with an open heart and a clean heart and say, God, you, or come with an empty cup and say, okay, God, you know, I've expended everything this week. The old devil, the old world was pushing against me. My cup is empty. Okay, Jesus, I'm in church Sunday morning. Come fill it. Come fill it. The truth of the matter is we're running. We're working with an empty cup. We're not filled. We're not filled with the Holy Spirit, and we're kind of stagnant. We're kind of getting stinky, if you will. You go ahead and you smell old food and so forth. Man, a while back, we had a freezer downstairs. Note the word had a freezer downstairs, and somehow somebody accidentally, one way or the other, unplugged the freezer. And, you know, it just wasn't for a day or 2 hours or 3 hours. It was probably 3 weeks or 4 weeks. My wife went downstairs doing wash, and, honey, something stinks. And, you know, as people do, you know, she's kind of, I don't want to, you know, but she was sniffing, you know, all of that smell, okay? Don't read into that, please, okay? But she went in there and went into the garage down below. It was really bad, and she got to the freezer. It was really bad. She opened up the freezer, and she said she was ready to gag. I mean, there was good food in there at one time. But you know what? And needless to say, nobody, I mean, it was an old freezer, and nobody in our family wanted to clean it. You know, I said, oh, you know, I'll admit me, Mom. Oh, it's not all that bad. Well, then you clean it. But, you know, truth of the matter is, my heart of hearts, I really didn't want to clean it either. You know, it was just as easy for me to back up my pickup truck, just slide it on in, went to the dump. You know who cleaned it? The big bucket loader over there did. It's gone. But you know what? That's how our spiritual life gets. You know what? We don't stay tuned in or plugged into God, and whatever the case may be. We don't come ready for anything. You know what? We feel like, well, I fulfilled my duty. You know, I'm here. I'm here for my once a week preaching, or I'm here for my Sunday morning preacher. I'm here just for whatever the case may be. And the truth of the matter is, if we're not careful, we start getting old and a little bit stagnant and so forth, and a little bit of a smell. You know, and why does that happen? Simply because we've kind of lost our joy. We've kind of lost that life, that joy unspeakable and full of glory that the Bible says. We've lost that spring in our step, and we've not, you know, and I tell people, boy, you know what, when you come to church, well, you ought to come with an open heart. Boy, on your way to church or first thing in the morning, you ought to be saying, oh, God, please use the preacher today. Oh, God, open my heart. I want to lead change. Oh, God, encourage my heart today. I go to church Sunday night, encourage my heart today. Go to church Wednesday night, encourage my heart tonight. I need you, God. I need you to do something in my life. But you know what? The reason why we stagnate is we're not ready. We don't come prepared. But this lad, boy, there's a lesson there. He was ready. Boy, would you be ready for God? Let me ask you a question. Teenager, let me pick on you for a minute. Would you be ready for God to do something big in your life? Boy, would you be excited? You know, God wants a shot at you, and he wants to do some great things in your life. Would you be ready for God to do something big in your life? But let me tell you something. If you're not careful, you don't get in the Word of God, and you don't listen to some godly counsel in your life, and you don't listen to your mom, a godly mom and daddy, and the godly authority that God has placed in your life. If you don't walk with God and get in the Word of God, let me tell you something. You're going to make some poor choices in your life that's going to stink up your life. Because you stop getting ready for the Savior, so to speak. You kind of stop getting yourself ready and prepared, if you will, for whatever it is, that big thing, whatever it is that God has for you. Hey, you know what? Teenage, are you really, really, really willing to go ahead and let God have a shot with your life? Let me tell you something. If you do, he'll do big things. He'll do big things. Hey, mama and daddy, are you willing to go ahead to allow God to continue to do some big things in your life? Hey, church member, are you willing to go ahead and allow God to do some big things in your life? Are you willing to go ahead and step in and say, hey, I'll step up. I'll do something at the church. I'll do whatever it takes to go ahead and do whatever we need to do around here for my family. I'll do whatever it takes. Or will you be a sideliner? You know, if that's where you feel like you got to be, well, you know, that's fine. Just get out of the way because I'm coming through. You know what? Are you ready to go ahead and let God do something big? Are you going to be a sideliner or one for that watches from the outskirts or watches from the outside? Hey, God uses those who are ready and those who are prepared. Are you ready? Are you prepared? This little boy was. We've got to let that little boy go ahead, so to speak, get ahead of us. This little boy, you know what? He was there. He wasn't going to miss. Because he was there, he was able to go ahead and give what little he was able to give. And because he was there and he was ready to go ahead and give. Okay, God, I don't have much, but would you use it for your glory? Are you prepared to have God do something big with you? Are you prepared to go ahead? Are you willing to let God allow you to drive a bus? Are you willing to let God allow you to teach a class? Are you willing to let God to allow you to work with teenagers? Are you willing to let God to allow you to sing in the choir? You know what? Listen to me. You know, Some of you have good voices. Sing. Amen. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You know what? You know, hey, let me tell you something. As long as I'm pastor and choir director, don't you start singing around me, because let me tell you something, my ear perks up. And you know I got your number. Some of you, you're all's number, and that's why you're up here. Amen. You know what? But you know, if God's given you an ability, a talent, why not use it for Him? You know, He's the one that gave it to you anyways. You know, take your pop artists and your country artists and all that, and yes, they have some ability. Probably they made it there. Not all of them, I don't know. But, you know, some of them no doubt have a voice. But you know who gave them that voice? God. Do you realize how much more of an impact, I'm talking important impact, they could have on this world? They would just go ahead and get saved, or some just need to get right with God, or whatever the case may be, and say, hey, God, I'll use my voice for you. You realize, you know what? Of course, they're after the big bucks and all that, but do you realize how great an impact that they would have? You know what? The talent that God gave you, if you just be willing, you know what? You know, some of you are athletic. You know, that's good. Some ministry down the road, young man's going to need a youth pastor that's got a little bit of athleticism, a little bit of energy like you. You know what? But, you know, if you're not careful, you say, well, you know what? I'm athletic. You know what? I think I want to be an NFL football player. I think I, you know, I could go ahead and swing a bat with the best of them. You know, I got the right form as far as basketball. And listen to me, I'm not opposed to pro sports. I watch pro sports. I want my sports to win. I want my pro teams, if you win, that I cheer for to win and so forth. And one of them aren't right now. But anyways, and you can just, you know, process of elimination, if you will. But the truth of the matter is, listen to me. You know what? But there's something more. You know, who gave you that talent to go ahead and shoot a hoop? Who gave you that talent to go ahead and throw a football? Who gave you that talent to go ahead and kick a football? Who gave you that talent to go ahead and swing a bat and to be able to stand in the outfield and watch a ball come at you and be able to catch it and make some big plays? Who gave you that talent? God did. And do you realize how far, how God could go ahead and use you if you say, you know what, God, I'm going to give you my talent because you gave it to me. You know, listen, moving right along. I told you we'd move right along. You know, he was there, this lad. Lesson number one, he was there. He didn't miss. Number two, he was ready. He was prepared. You know, he ought to come. You know, as a child of God, if you're a key worker, if you're a key worker as far as a Sunday school teacher, a bus worker, whatever the case may be, well, you ought to come ready to give your class something. You know, we ought not be so slipshod in our preparation. We ought not go ahead and, well, let's see, Saturday night or Sunday morning at about 9:30, you know your class starts at 9:45, and oh, I still haven't, and we go ahead and eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Jesus wept. I'm sure I can go ahead and give him something from that verse. Oh, but you know what? You know what? Your Sunday school class, your ministry, if you will go a whole lot further if you just go ahead and prepare yourself throughout the whole week. Take that Sunday school lesson and read it over and study it and read it over and study it so that it gets up here. And jot down some of your notes and open up the passage and go ahead and read it over and study it and jot them notes down. And that way, when you're ready to go ahead and go to your class on Sunday morning, you've got your notes, you've got your Bible, and your heart's prepared, and you can go in there and you don't have to be fidgety. Hi, kids. No, you know what? You know why you won't be that way? Because you're prepared. You're ready. Hey, be ready. Be ready for that bus route. And oh boy, if you get that great responsibility of being a bus captain, be ready for it. You know, I have a little list that I carry with me throughout the week and so forth on a 3x5 card. Oftentimes it'll stay in my office, or I'll have it with me, because I like to think about my bus kids throughout the week. I like to think about them. You know, I think of, man, I visit them throughout I wouldn't want to go through what they're going through, some of them. It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart when I know some of my kids got parents that are drug addicts. And if we don't go ahead and prepare ourselves for them and try to teach them and to train them, let me tell you something. What other hope do they have? You know what? If we don't go ahead and give it our best and give it our all and be prepared and be ready for them, you know what? They will just go ahead and follow suit and do what mama and daddy's doing. You know what? We need to be ready. We need to be prepared. Be prepared for that ministry that God has given you. And then number three, he was willing to give up what he had for the Savior. You know, some little, you know, you think about it. Take a little boy, maybe a young teenager, I don't know, active. You know how teenagers are. They eat all the time. Kids, I mean, 8, 9, 10 years old, especially a boy, okay? They eat all the time. You got to have a second job just to go ahead and keep your kids fit. Been there, done that. I'm there. You know what I'm talking about. But you know, here was this little boy. I'm going to walk around a few more minutes here. He was this little boy, you know, I don't know, maybe a little sack lunch, a little paper sack. Had 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. Maybe it was a little bit bigger, if it's depending on how big them loaves were, but nonetheless, he had that. And because he was there and because he was ready to go ahead and give whatever it was, you know what, when Jesus says, can I have that, son? You know, he didn't do what some young, no, I'm hungry. This is my lunch. No. No. Obviously, he was willing to go ahead and give to Jesus what he had. Here. I mean, I don't know about you, but looking at that as a little boy looking up to Jesus, man, he's the man that, man, he heals the blind. He has healed the sick. Man, he is, boy, he's performed miracles. This is, wow. You know, talk about being awestruck. Talk about being kind of, you know, wow, odd. You know, but, you know, somewhere along the way, I just think he was willing. Here you go. Here. He was willing to go ahead and give what he had to the Savior. Let me ask you a question. Are you willing to go ahead and give what you have for Jesus? You know, we live in such a materialistic society, don't we? Stuff. You know, and don't get me wrong, I like stuff. We all like stuff, but you know, if stuff gets in the way of us serving God, that's when it becomes sin. You've heard me say it hundreds of times. But we live in such a materialistic society. I want more, and then when we get more, we're not satisfied with the more that we got. Then we want more. You know what we're talking about? Stuff. You know, he was willing to go ahead, but you know, sometimes that stuff, them things, or that whatever is kind of hinders us from going forward for God. Some of that stuff will determine, well, do I go to church today? Some of that stuff will determine, do I read my Bible today? Some of that stuff will determine, do I get on my knees and pray today? Some of that stuff, that materialism, that stuff that you can't take with you, by the way, will go ahead and get in the way. Let me ask you a question. Are you willing to go ahead and say, hey, I'll put away that television show, or I'll put away that sports for the time being. I'll put away that game, or I'll put away this, or I'll put away that, so that I can, and I want to be willing to go ahead and give my Savior whatever it is he wants. What it boils right down to, that this lad did sacrifice. I don't think he thought twice about it. Jesus, I don't have much, but what I do have, I'll give to you. Want my money clip? Sure. I don't have a whole lot. But are we so materialistic in our thinking, Christian, that we'll let stuff hinder us from going forward for God? I look forward to getting to heaven, and I'd like to meet this little boy, maybe a man. I don't know what happened to him after this. But I wonder, because of his sacrifice and his willingness and his being there and ready, I wonder where he went in life. I don't know. Could he have pastored a big church? I don't know. Could he have? He probably had the capability of doing that simply because of his spirit, his giving spirit, his sacrificial spirit. Did he have a wonderful wife and children? I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised if he did. Did he have a sweet spirit as he went to work every day, and a joyous spirit and a spring in his step and a whistle coming out of his mouth because he was happy and he was singing the tunes of the Lord? I don't know. I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. I kind of look forward to seeing this young lad, maybe old man, I don't know, when I get to heaven. And hearing his side of the story. And seeing where his sacrifice and where his willingness and where his readiness and where his being in his place, where that took him. Pretty good formula right here of God, I think, taking you very far in life if you're willing to go ahead and give up what you have. Yeah, I know we have a lot of stuff. We have a hard time giving up that dollar bill. We have a hard time giving up that time. Well, I don't know. You know, man, the bus leaves at 7:30. Oh, come on. We have a hard time. Hard time teaching that class or being willing to maybe get out of our comfort zone a little bit and say, hey, you know what? I could step forward. I could do this. I could perhaps do this. I could maybe do some work around the church or do some, whatever the case. Maybe we have a hard time simply because we're not willing to go ahead and give up some of our time, some of our tithe, some of our talent, or whatever it is that God has given us. Hey, you know, I don't want to I don't want to get in that comfort zone I don't want to be in so comfortable, if you will, that I just kind of get lackadaisical about the Christian life. I don't want to do that. And I think in this society, and it's obvious, it's evident all around us that God's people were just kind of just going with the flow. Well, you know what? We kind of live in this mode, and I believe he's going to come soon, but we kind of live in this mode. Well, Jesus is coming soon, so since he's coming soon, what's the use? What's the use? What's the use? Huh? I mean, do you realize that there's a little poor girl, a poor boy, down in Plymouth or down in Wareham or in Carver here that doesn't know Jesus as Savior, and we have the greatest thing. We can show them that little boy, that little girl, and tell them about the greatest person in all the world, and we're here in our lackadaisical state, our comfortable state, saying, what's the use? What's the use? You know what? It's no wonder why people are dying, going to hell all around us, just simply because of that statement. What's the use? Times are bad. The world is wicked. The economy is this. They're fighting wars in the Middle East, and that's a sign of the times, and this and that. Jesus is going to come. What's the use? You know what the use is? Hey, you know what? Let me tell you something. Jesus is the reason why we need to keep on going. You know what? We need to keep on serving him. We need to get out of this comfortable state, and we need to go ahead and get some fire in our soul again and realize there's a world dying, going to hell, and we need to start passing out tracts. We need to start door knocking. We need to build our bus routes. We need to build our VBSs. We need to build our Sunday school. Hey, you know, we don't know when Jesus is coming, but let us be faithful when he does come back. Are we willing to be found faithful? This young man was. He was there. He didn't miss. Had he said, you know, Mom, I want to go home and watch cartoons, you know what? He'd have missed out on a big blessing. He was ready. He was prepared. And he was willing. I don't have much, but I'll give you what I got. Well, you know what? I think we could have revival if we just have God's people say, God, I don't have a whole lot, but I will give you what I got. Wow. Could you imagine what could be done in this great country of ours? Do you realize what could be done in this area? If a small group of God's people from Faith Baptist Church, Carver, Massachusetts, would say, you know, I don't have a whole lot, but God, I'll submit my life to you. I'll just give you what I have. I kind of like to, can't wait until I meet this little boy or maybe old man one day in heaven. You know, thinking about it this week, I kind of look forward to sitting down and getting inside the story. I kind of doubt he's going to say, Rashawn, I regret going that day. I don't think so. I don't think that's going to be the case at all. I kind of think that he's going to, as he sits there, I'm glad I was there. Boy, you know what? When I saw Jesus and I was there and I saw him face to face, wow! Little boy, I can see his little boyish grin. Wow! I kind of think that's what, I'm glad I was there. I'm glad that I was ready to go ahead and give him something. I'm glad I was willing to do it. Boy, you know what? I think, you know what? And the result was thousands fed. Boy, if we'd just do that, just be ready, willing, be there, it'd be amazing to see what God can do. Be amazing. I wonder who'd say, you know, I could be there. You know, yeah, there's some holes coming up, you know? Yeah, I think I could do that. Yeah, you know, yeah, we could use some bus drive. I think I could do that. Yeah, you know, cleaning. Yeah, we need to make sure this building's clean every week. Ship shape, sharp, clean every week. And yeah, it takes a little bit more work now that we got a tile floor downstairs. Well, you know, it's another hour. You know what, listen to me. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't want to sing if the preacher goes by me, but, you know, because he's going to put me up here. But you know what? I think I could help fill the choir. I think I could sing a special. I think I could do whatever it is that is needed. I wonder how many tonight say, I'll be there. I'll show up. That's the one God will use. I'm ready. Boy, come in and, preacher, what do you want me to do? Boy, it'd be great to see about 25 people in line saying, I don't know, but man, I'm glad this is happening and I'll find us something for you. And how many would be willing, yeah, I'll do that. I could do that. I could fulfill that ministry. I could go sow it, whatever the case may be. I wonder who could be like that little lad right there. And God will bless if we could just find some willing servants of God who say, I'm there. No apprehensiveness. Wow. Man, this is Super Bowl night. Struck a nerve on that one, huh? Oh, but the Red Sox actually made it to the World Series and this church on Sunday night. Oh, man. You don't have to worry about that this year. Oh, the Celtics. Oh, man, they didn't make it last year, but you got to understand, it's the last game of the finals, and it is 3-3, and oh, this church, old preacher, don't preach too long, man. I got to see that. I got to see the tip-off. TiVo it. It's an amazing thing about technology today, huh? You know, but and I could go on and on and on. I better not because I'm kind of striking a few nerves, aren't I? You know what? I'm not, by the way. I'm not. God is. But I guess the whole gist of this simple, practical message, who'll be there? Who'll be ready? it will be willing. Our Heavenly Father, sure to love you. We thank you for tonight. I thank you for this little boy, this little lad, as the Bible says. What a sacrificial young man. Somewhere he learned it. No doubt he probably had a godly father and a godly mother that had some character that taught him that. Lord, I thank you for the illustration. I thank you for the lessons that we can learn from this lad. I pray, dear God, that we'd take some of these lessons and apply them to our lives and be willing to say, hey, you know what? I'll do whatever needs to be done. God, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. God, I don't have much, but I will give you what I have. I'm looking forward to you blessing it. I pray, Lord, you'd bless. Maybe you're here tonight, church, and I know the majority here is our faithful members, and maybe you're here, doesn't matter who you are tonight, but God spoke to your heart, maybe about something. And you say, preacher, God spoke to my heart tonight. This is just what I needed. I won't embarrass you. I won't go ahead and point you out, but God spoke to my heart. Here's my hand. Would you please pray with me about something? Here's my hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? You may put your hand down, dear Jesus. You saw the hands, you know the hearts, and I pray to God, Holy Spirit, that you would do your work at this invitation. May we not quench the Spirit. May we be ready and willing to move if you desire us to move and make some holy decision between you and them. I pray, God, you bless in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed. Thank you for being in your place today, for saved today. That's something to rejoice about right there. And praise the Lord. Going to be having a wonderful week this week. Again, I'd like to meet quickly, okay? We're going to have the workers meet up here, teenagers and adult workers that are here, that are going to be here for VBS meet right up here. Brother Robles will start anyways. I'll come in, do whatever I need to in a moment. I'd like to see Brother Joe and Brother Blaine for about 1 minute shortly after this. And why don't I have Brother Joe come on up here and close in prayer this evening. Amen? And let's pray for that family, all right, tonight as well.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for all you did today, Lord. And I just thank you for the four we saw saved today, Lord. I thank you, Father God, for this church that just stands here and stands for what's right and stands for the King James Bible and stands for your word, Father God. And Lord, I just pray you be with all those who do show up, Father God. I thank you for the many, many faithful servants that we have here who show up week after week to serve you, Father God. And we do it all for your glory. And I thank you, Father God, for your blessing that you have just given us. And I just pray, Lord, now that you be with the Bonsu family. Lord, I couldn't begin to imagine the what they're going through now. And I just pray you be with Jasmine and be with her mom and her dad. And just I pray you just pour your grace upon that family now, Father God, I pray. And just keep them close together to each other and help them to look to you for strength and comfort, Lord. And I pray now, Father, you be with this coming week. I think of VBS, Lord, and I think of the numbers of children that we see come in on the buses and numbers of children that we see come in the drive-in crowd, Lord. And I just pray, Father God and Holy Spirit, that you just reign upon this place now. And I pray you go before and prepare hearts and just work in the hearts of every child that comes into the auditorium and into the church and onto the buses. And we pray, Father God, that we just see many saved. And Lord, we give you the glory for it. I pray that you be with the preachers who will be preaching, and I just fill them, Holy Spirit, with your power. Lord, we just thank you for the privilege to serve you here, Lord. And we love you, and we ask that you just be with us now and bring us back safely Wednesday night, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.